This is the real deal. Living a life authentic. And the question is, will you avoid capture? Will you avoid capture by all the heresy and all the untruth and the false concepts that are out there? Now, let me tell you a story to help you put it into perspective. A ship at sea had a captain that was extremely ruthless and brutal to its men, to the point where they became desperate. And they went to the first mate and pleaded with him that he would radio headquarters, because that captain was the captain until the port where that ship was registered would say otherwise. So finally, with a degree of intimidation, the first mate, a fine man, he radioed home, reported the atrocities of the captain toward his men, and requested permission to assume command of that vessel at once. The home port looked at the evidence and immediately radioed back, transferring the authority over to the first mate, who now becomes the captain. The former captain was to be relieved of all authority, effective immediately. He was to be brought home. He would stand trial for his crimes. He, however, was allowed freedom to move about on the deck, but it was made very clear to the entire crew that he no longer had that position of authority. Well, not long after that, the deposed captain decided to test his old power. There was a seaman that was busy at work on deck, happily enjoying the leadership of the new commandment. But the old captain came by and jerked the seaman up by the nape of his neck and began barking orders to him, and instinctively he just buckled to the old authority. And as soon as he started to obey, the old captain proceeded to lay it on heavy. And amidst the verbal barrage that was coming from the old captain, the seaman finally came to his thoughts and realized, you know, that man no longer has authority over me. I no longer have to listen to these insulting commands. And so he began to resist, but he got the beating of his life. Bruised and battered, he goes and tells the incident to the new rightful commander of the vessel. And he left, reminded by the new captain that the next time such a confrontation would develop, that the former commander held absolutely no authority. You don't have to listen to him. Nobody does on the crew. There's no reason even to pay attention to that old man. And should another incident arise, we're going to throw him in the brig. I tell you that story because when a cruel captain is relieved of command, he can still fool us, can't he? He can still come and bark orders at us. And unfortunately, almost all of us as believers will fall back under that authority that has been deposed spiritually in our lives. Will you avoid being recaptured by the cruel captain? Beloved, let's understand something. We're in a spiritual war. But God wants us to know that once we are in Christ, we no longer have to give in to the demands of the old man, the old captain of our lives, the flesh, the sin nature. We've been liberated from the authority and the dominion of Satan. And so what Paul does in this passage of Scripture, and I ask you this question, will you avoid capture? And I want you to see what Paul lays out. Beginning in verse 8, it's the danger that we believers continually face. We really do. And that's why he says what he says. See to it that no one takes you captive. Wait a minute, somebody could take me captive? What's that mean? Well, that's a rare word. It's only used here in the New Testament. It's a compound word. It's sulagogeo. It means sule, bute, and gogeo, to carry off, to carry off, to kidnap, to take off somewhere as a spoil of war. You'd be amazed how many believers are carried off. When I hear of believers or those who attended who in their immaturity and ignorance have been captured by false teaching, by a cult, as a pastor, I grieve. I really wonder, and I suppose honestly that there's quite a few of you, But I wonder how many of you are susceptible to being carried off by false teaching. Why would I be carried off, Pastor David? Well, let's look at what he says. See to it that no one takes you captive. The first thing that you need to understand is that you can be controlled by wrong thinking. Just as that seaman was controlled by the old captain, so any one of us can be prey to wrong thinking. You see, a primary duty of church leaders is to guard the flock. In Acts chapter 20, if you want to turn to it, Paul is on the beach outside of Turkey, outside of Ephesus. Ephesus was the metropolitan center of the preaching of the gospel to all of Asia. And Paul is leaving. He's been there 3 years, and my goodness. In fact, this church in Colossae was started because of a young man came by, heard Paul, got saved, went to his hometown of Colossae and started the church. His name Epaphras. But now it's time for Paul to leave, and he gets all the spiritual leaders of that church together. They had a little beach outreach or a little beach inreach. And he cried. They cried. They wept together. And in Acts 20, verse 29, Paul admonished them. He warned them. He said, I know that after I leave, wolves will come in. Savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. A sheep mentality, isn't it? All we like sheep have gone astray. But they're going to come in. Paul knew it. Even from among your own number, men will arise. They will pervert or distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Do you know how many cults and false teachings have arisen? They've come in right out of Protestant Christian churches. That's where they had their roots. And he said, be on your guard. So spiritual leaders have to do that. My friend, you choose any cult, you pick any false belief system, and they all have one thing in common. Just one. Do you know what that is? They all demean the glory and the true character of Jesus Christ, God's Son. It seems like all the hordes of hell have figured out different ways to deceive people so that they don't really understand who Jesus is and what he's done. The New Age, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Buddhism, Islam, you name any false belief system, and either they will claim that Jesus was just a very good man, yeah, he's a prophet, or the other extreme, they will say that Jesus is a supernatural being, they'll say he's even God, one God of many, and he came to teach us wonderful truths, but they will demean him. Interesting, isn't it? Now, let me give you a statistic that really worries me. 85% of those who join a cult attended Christian churches. 85%. So when I ask you, will you avoid capture? I don't know. They kidnap their converts from churches. How is this possible? Well, the answer is simple. Captives are ignorant of the truths of their new commander. They don't understand the word of God. Now listen very carefully. This is a command. If you're a Christian, this is a command. I didn't give it to you. Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know what you're doing to grow. I don't know if you open this Bible during the week. I don't know if you're attending any classes. I don't know if you're in any of our growth groups. I don't know if you're just drifting along like a dead fish. Grow. And if you're not growing in your Christian walk, beloved, I want to tell you, I fear for you. Jesus said, watch out for false prophets. They're everywhere. Paul said it. Peter said it. Now, I want you to look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 for a moment. He says, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, how do I do that? By faith. Continue to live in him. How do I live in him? By faith. I need to be rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith. And that's what we want to do today. Because you see, you can be controlled by wrong thinking. That's what's happening all around the world. To people like you who claim to be Christians, wrong thinking comes in. See, you can be convinced by wrong teaching, Look at this. Paul says, see to it that no one take you captive. How? Through. Dia is a Greek word meaning a channel, or the means by which they do this is through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Philosophy. That's interesting, isn't it? You know what philosophy is? Phileo Sophia. It's a love of wisdom. That's what it means. And philosophy is not evil in itself, but it becomes evil when men seek wisdom apart from where God has put it. Well, where has God put it? Look at verse 3 of chapter 2. In Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge. And so when we seek wisdom apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going the wrong way. There are a lot of philosophers that seek wisdom apart from Christ. Bertrand Russell was one. At the end of his life, God gave him 90 years. He lived 90 years, 70 years of which he lived as a philosopher. But you know what his last words were? He said, philosophy has proved to be a washout for me. That's a long washout, 90 years. I don't want you to get to the end of your days and say, man, it's just a washout. You know what I believed, what I thought about, what I gave my life to, just a washout. There are many, you see, who want to eliminate God. And by their own human effort, they want to attempt to discover truth. Friedrich Nietzsche was one of those. He was a philosopher who preached God is dead. You've heard that, haven't you? You know, he died in spiritual darkness, babbling like a madman. In fact, on a wall in Austria, there was some graffiti that said, God is dead, Nietzsche. Somebody came along under that and they wrote, Nietzsche is dead, God. Well, all the philosophers will someday be dead. Hegel is dead. Marx is dead. Darwin is dead. Freud is dead. Sartre, Kierkegaard, long list of humanistic philosophers. David Hume was an atheistic philosopher. He was an immoral man in every sense of the word. And you know what? He cried out at the end of his life. He cried out, I am in flames. And his ending was absolutely horrific. I wonder what you're going to say when that day comes. You see, Colossae had its humanistic philosophers, deceptive philosophers, just like we do here, our state, our country. You say, well, who are they? Oh, they're a certain elite group that establishes thought patterns that affect our lives in every area. The world is trying to press us into its mold. And beloved, we got to be contramundum. We've got to be able to understand what true philosophy, a true love of Jesus Christ is, and be able to stand against the world. Philosophy is the basis for the direction of our society. It really is. Philosophy is a worldview. You've got a worldview. Everybody does. In fact, one of the ways to test a person's worldview is simply ask them the four great questions of life. Where'd you come from? Why are you here? Who am I? Where are you going? And very quickly, I could discern whether you have been deceived by hollow and empty philosophy or not. I had lunch with a man just this past week who loves this country. I know that many of you do. He must have asked me three times while we had lunch. He said, Pastor David, he said, where do you think America's going to be in 20 years? Where do you think America's going to be in 20 years? You see, he knows something. I understand something. Today we are reaping the harvest from the seeds that ungodly philosophers have sown. They've sown it in our educational system. They've sown it everywhere. And the alarming issue is a whole lot of people don't even have a clue. Ungodly philosophy produces a harvest of confusion, uncertainty, and then darkness. Chains that will bind us all if we allow them to do. We can be convinced by wrong teaching. And Paul knew it. Hollow, deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. So let's look at this. What does it mean, wrong teaching? Number one, false deceptive claims. hollow, deceptive philosophy. The Colossian false teachers, you know what they did? They offered secret truths to an inner circle. But really, Paul says there wasn't anything to it. There was no value. It was empty. How do these false philosophy teachers, how do they gather a following? You ever wonder? Well, I'll tell you how. They appeal to your curiosity. They appeal to your vanity. They appeal to pride, wanting to be on the inside group, to have a little better, to know more. But Paul says it's not what it appears to be. It may sound good. It will seduce the mind, but it's empty because it isn't true at all. Here's why. He says that depends on human tradition. That's man-made customs. Now, the word tradition can be good or it can be bad. Tradition means simply that which is handed down. So it depends on from where it was handed down. Was it handed down from God? That's what I want to hand down to my children and the next generation. Or was it handed down from man? Where did this tradition come from? You see, the world we live in is not neutral, my friend. It really isn't. It's trying to press us, and it's doing a very, very good job with Christians. Read the statistics, marriages, divorce. I mean, the way we spend our money. I mean, it's amazing. Number three is worldly culture. Worldly culture, this stew, false deceptive claims, man-made customs, worldly culture. He says, and the basic principles of this world all go in to convince a multitude of people by wrong teaching. Now, what's this mean, basic principles of the world? Stoicheia is the Greek word. It means things in a row, or like A, B, C, D, E, F, or it means the elemental spiritual forces behind the scenes that really control our lives. Oh, yeah, you know, the angels, the demons. Oh, the heavenly bodies, they influence. That was the idea. We're talking about superstition. Superstition abounds among religions today, beloved. I mean, some people go out and bury a statue of St. Jude in the backyard because they want to sell their property. Others dangle a statue from their rearview mirror, St. Christopher, because they believe superstition that they'll protect them. Hey, my friend, that's not true. One thing is certain. All these teachings about demons and angels and all these things controlling our lives, that was not a part of pure Christian doctrine. It wasn't as you were taught to be built up in Him. No, the Bible warns us against all those things. It warns us against idols. It warns us against horoscopes and astrology and Ouija boards and all of those practices. And really, my friend, listen, if you dabble in all the esoteric mysticism or the occult that is available, you're asking for trouble. You're walking right down a pathway into darkness and confusion. Yeah, we can be convinced by wrong teaching. In fact, you can be confused about truth. Notice how Paul puts this, that someone could take you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy that depends on man-made customs, human tradition, and the elemental principles of this world, rather than that's all false stuff, rather than on Christ. I mean, simple question, beloved. This is what he's trying to drive home. Why in the world would any of us follow empty philosophy when all we need is what we have in Christ? You know what that's like? That's like turning away from a pure fountain of beautiful spring, clear water, and turning to drink from a dirty cistern of the world. That would be like leaving biblical truth for empty philosophy. Would be like returning to kindergarten after you just got your doctorate. No. But very shrewdly, the false teachers in Colossae and the ones here, they really don't ask believers to forsake Christ. Oh, no. Just make Christ a part of this new system. We have a part for Him. But you see, that removes Him from His rightful place of preeminence. And these groups are all around us spreading their teachings, encouraging Christians to leave their churches and join them. Do you know that 3 out of 4 new converts to Mormonism are former members of Protestant churches? The danger we believers continually face. And so now we come to verse 9. Look at this, and I love this verse. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is head over every power. Forget your superstition. He's head over every authority. Beloved, yes, you face danger of being taken captive. I don't know if you will or not, but I do know this. The defense that we find is only in Christ. And this is where Paul goes now. You see, what an antidote to the virus of false teaching. Because immediately Paul takes his readers back to the person of Christ. Number one. What's the substance of his person? Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness, the word fullness, pleroma, it was a word that these philosophers like to use, that if you follow me, you'll really be filled with some new stuff. No, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. I got a simple question for you. Don't listen to what others say. I want to know what you say. Is Jesus God? Now, I fully expect that a new believer in Jesus Christ will ask and not know the answer to that. Understand that. Yes, I believe you can be saved if you're a brand new believer and you don't understand the ramifications of really who he is. But I am absolutely blown away by people who claim to be Christians for years and they don't know how to answer that question. They're still asking that question, is Jesus God? Now, I want to tell you why that's so critical, because almost all the cults will either devalue or deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And I want you to watch in this one verse how Paul piles up the declarations that Christ is God.